Just call me a turkey because I want to get stuffed.
I may not cook, but I'll bring fresh gossip to every potluck.
Ooh!
Big mouth. Big mouth.
It's gonna be bad.
Big personality. Big butt. Of course I live in the Big Apple.
In this house, I'm teaching my daughter how to read a book and a bitch.
Mine's an old one. I couldn't come up with a
new one. Oh my God. No, I loved it. It's sort of Thanksgiving related in the fact that we're all so grateful for so many
I didn't know it was supposed to be Thanksgiving, really.
Me either.
Well,
this is off theme.
You know what? The theme of the episode is in our connection with each other. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It is, in fact, a special Friendsgiving episode. And I have to give a little bit of history, even though I'm going to fuck this up. I like literally do not remember the history. As I say, I'm going to share the history with everyone. But these are three people joining the pod for this very sassy, fun little ep who I have loved for years. In fact, we were on a years-long DM thread, which did at one point, unfortunately, go rest in peace, but it must be resurrected as a part of this ep. So who better to have an Andy's Girls Friendsgiving episode than some of my favorite friends. You know him as content manager, pop culture at Betches Media and host of the podcast Mention It All and creator, of course, of Bravo by Betches. Welcome back to Andy's Girls, Dylan Hafer. Dylan, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm glad to be among friends.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, you also know this guest as Pet Shop Boy and host of the podcast, The B-List. Welcome back to Andy's Girls, B Greater. B, how are we?
It's good to be here.
And she is the co-creator of the Instagram accounts Bravo Betch and Moms Being Petty. I'm so excited to hear maybe some petty thoughts during this episode. Welcome to Andy's Girls, your first time on the people's couch a la Zoom. Welcome to AG, Katie McBurdick. Katie, how are you doing?
I'm so happy to be here.
I can't believe that we have never done a group episode before. That feels somewhat strange to me. Dylan and B, have you guys done an AG together or any kind of pod?
I don't think so.
Together?
I don't think I've ever done like more than one person on a pod. I don't think. Oh wait, I have. I've been on guest on one, but not in this with anyone present. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I want to do one coming up soon for mine. For Girls Trip.
Oh, for Girls Trip 3?
I want to have Heather and Leon at the same time. It'd be good, right?
Oh, wait, you mean like having actual housewives on
the
pod?
Yeah,
that could be very cool.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
So, guys, this is a Friendsgiving episode. What are your plans for Thanksgiving? Katie, do you have anything scheduled, coordinated? What's going on? What's going down?
Yeah, we have a busy weekend, but we're just going to go to my parents' house with the kids, we're going to the zoo. So it's a big weekend.
On Thanksgiving!
It's the whole weekend.
That's cute.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to like a zoo in California. If you guys at home could see my face, when I was like, is that where you're catching the turkey?
We get the animals.
That's there. Where her family lives.
Yeah, I mean, it can be called the zoo.
Yeah.
My mom's house can be called the zoo.
Oh my God, I'm into it. Dylan, are you going home? What are you up to?
No, I'm staying in the city. Gonna have myself a little relaxing weekend, see some friends. Hopefully just enjoy like not talking about Bravo for a few days. That's kind of like my happy place.
Mm-hmm. I like to reset, not talk about it. It's nice.
Yeah.
Wait a second. So I am going home, but I'm doing it in a day like a psychopath, which I've done once before where I'm taking the Amtrak. This is how I forgot to buy my ticket. wink, wink, on accident. So I am taking like the some of the few available times. I'm taking like the noon train back to Rhode Island. I arrive at like 3:45. I'm doing Thanksgiving, and then I'm leaving at 7, which feels
you're gonna be there for like.
It's giving midnight train to Georgia.
You're gonna have to like take a piece of pie on the train back with you to leave before dessert.
It reminds 100%. Me of like Karen Huger sitting on the train doing her curls and her hair, like while she's filming a TikTok. The guy's like, "Can you move?" It's like, "This is you with food."
It's literally going to be me pretending that I'm in a town that I am not when I'm like literally back on the train, a la the Huger, a la the Grand Dame. Yeah, it's a little nuts, but Dill, maybe we'll hang over the weekend or something.
A girl's got to do what a girl's got to do. I'm just saying.
What are your plans? Are you staying in the city? What are you doing?
I'm staying in the city. I actually love New York, and when it's Thanksgiving, a lot of people clear out, gets really quiet. Yes. I'm doing a Thanksgiving with some friends that I typically do Thanksgiving with. It's a little bit of an overrated holiday, but I do love it, but it's not my favorite. Turkey doesn't hit, never will.
Yeah.
Why does all turkey taste like the turkey has never tasted a drop of water in its life? Like, it's always dry. Never hit. So you could put, you know, we need to switch that, but I'm gonna eat regardless.
I would not. I mean, I firmly believe that, and I also think that turkey is possibly as thirsty as Mia. So yeah.
I prefer Christmas.
I mean, New York City at Christmas time is it's romantic over here. It's genuinely romantic. Like, yeah. Seeing the lights. I rom-com. Listen to some jazz. It's a full rom-com. I'm like listening to Ella Fitzgerald, walking around, living my best life, mm-hmm. yearning for whatever is how that'll go. So guys, I have a question for you. I mean, this is, again, the first time we're doing this. I'm so excited to have you all here in my little Zoom window, just staring lovingly at all of you. So, you know, it's the Thanksgiving episode. I just gonna keep saying that over and over.
I think they know, Sarah. They're like, fuck. They're just going to start fast forwarding.
She really loves Thanksgiving.
She really drunk? Does. Is she drunk?
So my question to you is, during a time of alleged gratitude, is there anything inside the Bravo universe that you are thankful for or grateful for? It could be like literally anything. B, let's start with you.
I have a couple things.
Yeah.
It's hard to decide because I'm happy. I'm thankful that Alexia Echevarria found the love of her life. She deserves it. I'm glad that she's back with us. I'm thankful that Whitney found Lisa Barlow and they now have a friendship, because that's the only thing that Whitney has ever wanted more in her entire life, is to backstab her best friend and cousin just to get to the good graces of Lisa Barlow. I'm happy that Lindsay and Danielle had a falling out, although I am typically team friendship. I think that it's going to kind of introduce a new dynamic on that cast and not be two divisions, a division between like the old cast and the new. So that might be interesting. But I'm going to always ride for Lindsay. I'm thankful that we have Dr. Nicole. I'm glad that she's in my life. I really enjoy her. She's the white Ashley Darby. But most of all, the thing that I am most thankful for right now is that Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is no longer on the air for the rest of the year. I'm glad that we're done with the conversation about any of those women. I hope that we don't talk about them today, but I'm sure it'll come up. I'm tired of Kathy Hilton. I'm tired of Lisa Rinna. I'm tired of Erica Jane. I'm even tired of Garcelle. I love you, Garcelle, but I'm tired. But I'm glad that they're off the air for a bit and they're not going to film until the new year. That's what I'm most thankful for.
Wow. Wow. So much. So much.
Yeah.
I found that all fascinating. I really did.
There's so much to be thankful for.
And Dr. Nicole is Latina, right?
She's Cuban.
You know what? She is. She's Cuban. Yeah. Sorry. She's not the white. Yeah. She's white passing. Yeah.
She's the Miami.
She's Miami. The Miami. If you're listening to this, Dr. Nicole, I love you. I love Dr. Nicole so much. Don't you? She gives Ashley Darby energy in the best way. Mm-hmm. I mean that in the best way. She's agitator.
She's hungry for it.
She's hungry for it. She's an agitator. She looks amazing.
And I feel like even when people are coming for her, she kind of sits in it. She doesn't let it take her down. You know, like she feels
they thought they were going to bring her to the Hamptons and read her, and she ended up reading the entire table.
She's got some older women that are perhaps, you know, wishing they were looking like
holding
her.
Holding a mojito. I think in a couple of years she'll be holding center mojito.
Oh. And I also appreciate how much fucking money she has. That fucking house.
And the taste. The planes? Have you seen the inside of the house? Yeah. She's got taste. And you can't buy that.
Got taste. Oh,
clearly you can't buy that on Miami. Yeah. Have you seen some of those houses? That was actually the storyline, right? That she said that she thought that Lisa Hochstein's house was kind of tacky, which it is.
It is.
It looks like the inside of a Barton G's. Is that Barton G? Wait, is it Barton G? Is that the name of the restaurant?
Yeah. No, it is. Yeah. It is where they bring out a cotton candy and ask for a side salad. Yeah. And it like makes literally no sense. And it's halfway on fire. Listen, so many great moments of gratitude. Dylan Hafer, do you have anything that you're thankful for inside the Bravo world in whatever way?
Well, of course I'm thankful for, you know, all the wonderful friendships and connections I've made in the Bravo community. I'm also really thankful that I'm employed and Ramona Singer's not this holiday season.
Got him. You
know, I'm happy. I also am thankful, as earlier today I had a chance to watch the premiere episode of Leva's new show, Southern Hospitality. Ooh. And I am thankful that they found a deranged bunch of degenerates that are going to bring a fresh new energy to the screens of Bravo, because the first episode, it's some of these personalities are truly off the charts, and we'll see where it goes, but I'm encouraged.
Well, that's so hard to find on reality TV. Because those people are never attracted to reality.
Oh my God. Katie, what about you?
Well, I know it's cheesy, but I am thankful for all of you guys.
Aww.
And just the friendships that watching Bravo and then creating this account and all the fun stuff we've gotten to do over the years. And yeah, I'm just really thankful for that.
Yeah, because we were having a kiki at the BravoCon, so much so that the woman behind us in the row behind us was like, "Can you shut up?" We were talking through the panel.
That was the best part of BravoCon, was like hanging with you and Sarah. I didn't get to spend much time with Dylan, but
I know.
And Steve, like, I just left feeling so happy and just like, you know, hanging with my people.
We did also share custody of B. Like, we had a negotiation before each panel, and we were like, okay, who gets to sit next to B for this panel? Okay, you got him last time, so I'll go three seats over, and then we'll circle back after. And also, truly, evidently, he's Madonna. I did not see anyone, aside from actual literal Bravo lebs, and maybe some of those didn't receive this kind of reception.
I thought they saw a housewife.
I know. They were screaming, and I was like, what's going on? What happened?
I turned around and I was like, who is here now? And because like every time a housewife would walk by, people would just swarm them.
Nightmare.
I was like, that's what was happening. I turned around and it was him.
It was like taking photos with women holding chicken fingers and white wine. It's fucking amazing. Honestly, best weekend of my life.
There was one moment where you were laughing because you were like, you were like taking it all in, and it was like an amazing look, but then more people were coming over to you like after you took it in and had the moment. I was like, what the fuck is even like, I took a photo of all of these women coming up to you needing to take photos because it was honestly so magical. So I was incredibly there for that.
I love women, so it's great.
Women. I love that about you. Speaking of BravoCon, I am very appreciative and thankful for being in the audience at the Salt Lake City panel, also known as Erev Reunion, because was there a moment, a panel that could come close to the tension and just endless fire shooting out of that panel? I think not. I think not.
That poor moderator. They ran all over him.
Who was the moderator?
Karamo. Oh,
was it Karamo? That makes so much sense, actually. That checks out.
Wait, no, I thought he actually did a good job. I was surprised. I thought he was able to kind of like keep things moving. Yes, I was shocked But I shouldn't stop saying how shocked I was that the movie was good, but like I really was.
Now, I missed the Salt Lake City panel, and I specifically remember being annoyed when I knew that it was Karamo moderating it, because I think his red carpet coverage over the last year or two was some of the worst work done on TV, and so I was like,
not the worst work done on TV.
I haven't checked out his new talk show that's like replacement Maury. I can't imagine it's giving anything I need, but you know,
it's trash.
I watched it. For Karamo.
They have Pink Sauce Lady on there.
Oh, did he?
He had Pink Sauce Lady, and he's a Pink Sauce Lady apologist. So that tells you all you need to know.
What's in the sauce?
What's in the sauce? It's Pepto-Bismol, you guys.
Can you give a little background to the people who may not know what pink sauce is?
Sarah, I don't think you spend too much time on TikTok, but there was this lady who was selling this mysterious condiment that looked like paint, and it was like light pink, and all these people were buying the sauce, and then there were like inconsistencies, like some people were getting one that was like thicker or runnier, and then like there were people
getting the runs. It was.
Why were they buying it to begin with? A woman just posting a pink Crayola crayon and being like, put this in your body.
The nutritional facts on the back were like printed out and like stuck on and then like glued on with glitter glue. And the calorie content didn't even add up. People were like adding it up. They're like, you just made these numbers up. They don't actually even compute to the same.
It said the bottle had like 178 servings in it or something.
Oh my God, you can like dole it out with a thimble. Actually, that reminds me of a question that I have for you guys, because there were, of course, stalls at BravoCon selling shit in the whatever it was called, bazaar or whatever, which I unfortunately didn't have time to go near because I was too busy waiting in line or trying to find a bathroom. But is there in a la holiday season, is there a recommendation you have or a review of an item that you have purchased, created, done by a Bravo Lab for those who are thinking of having Santa deliver something that feels a la BravoTV.com?
Well, you can check out shopbravoveg.com.
You just came out with candles.
Yeah, we just launched some holiday candles and a couple ornaments. And there's sweatshirts and shirts and makeup bags soon. So yeah, check it out.
That's exciting. I love how many wicks? How many wicks on your candles?
We're a one wick candle.
Wow. Okay. All right. Still works.
But what do I want for Christmas? But what do I want
for Christmas?
Dill, what about you?
I live in an apartment. Like, I don't have room for a three wick candle. Like, where is that going? Yeah. Like, I'm trying to put a candle on my, like, bedside table or on like a windowsill. Like, I don't need a bucket of wax with three wicks. Like, I think that's I think the emphasis on wicks is a little overblown, because I simply just don't have room. I did, the one thing I bought at the Bravo Bazaar was a Shibai Shirai hat. Which I mean, like, I'm glad I have it, I guess. I would not necessarily say that it's a must purchase holiday item.
No.
I haven't looked at the normal price, because when I went to the Bravo Bazaar, I was like, oh, how much is the hat? And he was like, well, with the discount, it's $35. And I'm like, okay, sure. I don't know what the BravoCon discount was. I didn't get any special deal. But that's, no, I think, buy some of Katie's candles.
I feel like the discount was that it was actually in stock. I wanted
the black one, and I had to settle for the tan because they were sold out of the black. They probably brought like three of them, but.
Oh, no. B, what about you? Do you have something that you love or that you've seen or that you loathe and tell people not to get?
No, I'm just going to promote Heather Gay's new book, Bad Mormon. You can pre-buy it, or I'm sorry, not pre-buy. You can pre-order it on Amazon or wherever you pre-order your books. Yeah. She was on my podcast. So I'm a plug for myself. Oh, she was on my podcast this past week.
Love.
So the episode will be out later this week. And we were talking a lot about the book, and it just sounds really interesting. All of the different chapters are named after different songs. And we talked a bit about that, and it sounds really interesting. So that's what I'll probably suggest.
Did
a good book from a good woman. I did not read the book, but I know it's going to be good. How about that?
I've started reading the book. I've read one chapter. Yeah?
Okay.
I was like I'm gonna read a book, and I read one chapter of Heather Gray's book, and I mean it doesn't come out till February, so I will pick it back up at some point. But
February 27th of 2023.
That's like when I had Siggy on my podcast before. This was after season one.
That before I agreed to do this.
Disclaimer. Shut the fuck up. Before season two, when we hadn't yet met Marge, and she was like, you know, hashtag systematic bullying. There's a new person on the cast and she really bullies me. And I was like, oh my God. And so I wanted to be able to say that I had read her book, but I literally read the index before. I read like the first page of the acknowledgments, and I was like, I'm reading your book, Siggy. It's so good. And that one sentence was great. May its memory be a blessing. I donated it to charity shortly thereafter.
Has any housewife ever had a bigger fall from grace than Siggy?
Well, I mean, you could argue that Mikhail did while she was a housewife after she paperless post invited herself into the White House.
Siggy has gone so beyond the pale, but maybe Phaedra, right, would probably be.
I think Phaedra at the time, maybe, but obviously now things have changed a lot for her. I don't think Siggy is coming ever back in the direction of the light. She was just at Mar-a-Lago last week for Trump's big announcement.
Front row.
posting with her Jexit clutch bag.
Good time girl out of Mar-a-Lago. like she was collecting beads. Mar-a-Lago gras. Tits out for Trump.
Go out so quickly off the tracks. The Phaedra of it all, though, does raise an interesting question, which is the idea of utilizing Ultimate Girls Trip as a genuine either audition back on the show or reintroduction if those decisions have been made. How do you feel about that kind of concept, like this creation of this new offshoot, which many people have been asking for years, and too many people really did deliver when it came out?
So what do we have right now? They're all in process, right? Because the only person that we've actually seen return to something is Phaedra so far, who's been a cameo on Dubai. But Taylor, Tamra.
Yeah.
Phaedra. That's it, right? So far?
Dorinda's Day is coming. Jill, but it hasn't been announced yet.
Vicky, because she goes on vacation with the girls in OC this season. But I think the one I'm most excited about is Taylor. I think that Tamra deserves it the most, but I really am interested in seeing Taylor in a new dynamic and a different space in life, because I think she could be a fun person. There's something about Taylor I really like. She's dark, obviously, and got a lot of stuff with her, but I don't know, there's something really likable about her too.
I think going into that season of Girls Trip, Taylor was by far the biggest question mark. Like, we really didn't, we hadn't seen her on TV in years, and she wasn't even really active on social media that much in the in-between time. So really she was such an unknown in terms of what's she like now. And I think it was such a success coming from her on Girls Trip 2. So I am excited to see her in that light. But yeah, I mean, I'm into bringing people back if it is the right time and place and situation. So I think Girls Trip it's fun to kind of expand the possibilities.
Who do you think that Girls Trip was most sorry to ask another question, Sarah? But I want to know you guys, because I didn't get to talk to Bravoholics. Who do you think, though, who's been more damaged by the experience, right?
Wow, that's a great question.
Because I think people could argue that Dorinda, but we already kind of knew this facet of Dorinda, but I would say Cynthia.
How so? Because she was kind of like a
combative
Debbie Downer,
combative. But I think she was probably going through some stuff in her personal life that we didn't even address on the show, which is clear now. But I don't know. Cynthia kind of left me, you know, with a bad taste.
Katie, what do you think about that?
I agree with that. Well, Dorinda, so I was hoping that when we saw her again, that she would like be like old Dorinda, you know, like kind of like come back to the one that we loved, but that did not happen. And then at BravoCon, it was really apparent that no change. what's going to happen. So I don't know. Dorinda used to be, she was my like all time favorite housewife for a really long time, but she's just hard to watch now. It's like not fun.
Yeah. And yet it feels like Legacy couldn't be Legacy without her, but it does kind of beg the question, be careful of what you wish for, because I think the best personification was with that was the nastiness and darkness that she displayed on Girls Trip. You can't blame everything on being the host and the stresses around that. At a certain point, she just has become or revealed herself as parentally mean.
What if your son died?
Oh my God. That moment was so tough.
I don't mean to laugh.
So chaotic. Would anyone potentially reference Brandy though in those terms, or is her darkness just understood as a part of her in the way that it's always kind of been?
She was not doing anything out of the ordinary for her. She was doing exactly what she was being paid to do, and we were not shocked by it. It was like, okay,
yeah,
just another day.
Yeah.
That's why I'm just bored with Brandy, because it's so predictable. It's like, all
I
right.
think that's, yeah, that's kind of where I met with Brandy, that it's like, I wasn't shocked or upset by anything she did on Girls Trip. I think she, you know, did important work on that show, but at the same time, I'm not like yeah, get her back on Beverly Hills ASAP. That's where she belongs. It's like, it's not like I never want to see Brandy in any context again, but I don't feel like Housewives is something that is kind of a future prospect for her. She feels so in the past of Beverly Hills to me.
Yeah.
And I don't really know kind of what other Bravo type of thing would really make sense for her. So I'm okay on Brandy.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's like, I think if someone like a wild card, like Jennifer Aiden is the perfect person for this, because it's like she can have those moments, but then she scales back and then you get to see a lot of her personal family life. And there's things about her that are really endearing that you forget about all the craziness. And then next thing you know, she's vomiting in Teresa's driveway as her husband carries her out like she's a turkey. It's like, it's perfect. And it's like the right amount of like everything, as opposed to Brandy, who's really just kind of like one speed to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just me personally.
That actually raises a question that I'd love to get your thoughts on, because it does appear that the upcoming Jersey is going to be a fucking shit show. Like, the fact that they really truly did have to, and it was a decision that I do believe was genuinely made by production or the network, to split the panels, because it just didn't, it no longer seemed to be realistic that these women could get through a sentence being on stage together. But how do you feel about the upcoming season, noting that, as Teresa and Melissa have both acknowledged, they feel in real time that there's no way to go back? Katie, what do you think about Jersey coming up?
I'm kind of over Melissa and Joe.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit. I love Trey, and I love Jennifer Aiden. Like, I think she.
Do you?
Yeah.
How many people have changed on her? Right? It's like.
Yeah.
People don't like her at the first.
Since Oklahoma, there's
from the very beginning.
What's this fucking country music? What a snooze.
But like, how great was that though? You know,
so
like,
good. Yeah, yeah.
She's an A+ housewife. She's exactly what like a housewife should be.
And a Jersey housewife.
A great casting choice. Yeah.
I think at this point, it's like, I'd rather see Melissa go back and forth with Jennifer, because I feel like there's like some kind of push and pull there. Whereas like the Teresa Melissa thing to me is so tapped out. And it's like, if you guys don't have any kind of desire to be friends with each other, then that's fine. It's been like 10 years. I don't need you to be in this like forever like facade of we're trying to get to a good place as sisters. So I think it's almost like with Jennifer, I feel like there's a little bit more of an ability to be like doing it for TV. Whereas with Teresa and Melissa, it's like, okay, it's fine. Just separate.
Yeah.
B, what do you think?
Unpopular opinion here. I think that I agree with you, Dylan. And I think that eventually they're going to have to make a decision between one of the two women. And I think that they're probably the person that should stay would be Melissa. I like Teresa more.
Really?
I think Melissa has more genuine relationships with the larger cast.
That's true.
She does. I mean, she was friends with, like, the new girls coming on. She's friends with Margaret. They hang out all the time. She's friends with Jackie. Teresa only really hangs out with, like, Dolores and Jack and Jennifer. Sorry. And you know what I mean? And I think also, like, Teresa's story is a little bit, like, kind of being wrapped up in a bow. It's, like, kind of perfect. And I honestly don't want to see her life get messed apart again by reality TV. Like, maybe, like, let's just leave her where she's at. And not to say that I don't like Teresa on the show, but I think that if you were to choose between the two, I think Melissa still has more mileage, I guess. That sounds terrible.
That's a good point.
And yet the difference between, like, job security and job performance is key here, because you could argue that Melissa is better day to day and maybe makes more sense within the construct of the cast and just, like, the overall deal with being a housewife versus Teresa, who I think a lot of people feels has the most job security of any OG or any housewife, because New Jersey has existed for so long using her as the absolute foundational core, where even when she's not, like, the star of the show, she sort of is the show.
Yeah.
I almost think with Jersey, I would put more, if you think of, like, Kyle Richards as somebody on Beverly Hills who is always professional, always giving you just enough of what you need, and she's never really been kind of, like, in danger on the show. Mm-hmm. I almost think that Melissa is a better comparison to that than Teresa, because Melissa has it together so much more in a lot of ways and is less explosive. I feel like the network probably knows exactly what they're going to get with Melissa in a way.
Media training goes a long way too.
Yeah, in a way that's really reassuring. And, you know, when you're dealing with these kind of reactive people, and Jennifer Aiden certainly is that type as well, it has to be nice from a network perspective, from a production perspective, that it's like, well, at the very least, like, we know Melissa's gonna show up and give us what we need to get. And I think Teresa would be an easier person to find a reason to get rid of, whereas Melissa is kind of gold.
Here's some tea though that I hear from multiple sources around, I can't say who, but I hear all the time from people around production that they say that generally Teresa's the nicest consistently of the cast. She cooks the production staff dinner. She makes them cookies. Aww. She won't let them leave without, like,
cannoli cookies.
She's been doing this so long, and I think that she looks at it as family, and they say, just comparatively, like, I hear Melissa's, like, not great with production and one of the, like, worst to work with. So I don't know. This is just what I hear. So,
you know what? But I wonder how much of that, if it was true, had to do with the knowledge that you're walking into a space where your sister-in-law, who you've had shit with for many years, is seen as the star. That would make me feel a certain way, which is not an excuse for ill treatment of the crew, obviously. But I could understand there being an underlying tension and feeling like I had to prove myself. Or even if I did prove myself, it would never be good enough.
Yeah, it's true. I want to just state, too, that I don't know anything. I have not personally seen Melissa treating her. And she's been nothing but pleasant whenever I've met her. But, so.
I also have to say that, like, the idea of not being easy to work with on New Jersey versus New York City, for example, are the metrics on that. The spectrum has to be so different. Where, like, New Jersey, it's like maybe someone's, like, rolling their eyes or whatever, and I have no information on the details relating to the rumors or whatever, versus New York City, where these women are seemingly, like, trying to actively murder in daily calls, yelling, shitting on floors. Yeah. Like, an endless stream of active complaints from just how Ramona being an asshole is the New York City friend of, you know? There's a way that there's a different kind of level of ease in working with someone on one cast or another. And I hate to reference this, B, because you mentioned it at the beginning of the podcast, but when you even think of how someone is as far as being good to work with, like, I think of, for example, trigger warning, Lisa Rinna, in probably being somewhat of a professional behind the scenes, but being such a fucking clown on social media that I would argue that's a pretty difficult person to work with because she's dragging the show down every time she posts a fucking Instagram story.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today.
Yeah, but I feel like those, I feel like they probably treat these different franchises. I mean, I don't know. I don't have intel on, but no, I feel like they treat them differently. 100%. I feel like probably different casts have different rules about these kinds of things. I feel like they probably look at a show like Beverly Hills, and the more they use social, the bigger the machine gets, the more the feeds the beast. And I mean, that's another reason why I think that I'm so happy that that show's not on the air right now. So much plays out in the media, and it's become so meta, and it's a picture within a picture within a picture that it's just unfun to watch. It's just unfun, and I like shows like Potomac and Jersey where they basically go away for half a year and make you miss them, and then you're so happy to see them again. Make us miss you. I miss those days, you know? That's why I'm really happy for this New York reboot, because we don't know much about it. Well, unfortunately, we know some stuff from the past week, but it's I don't know. I'm really excited to like not have a show be in our face the entire year, you know?
Well, speaking of a show being on your in your face, you mentioned Potomac. What a fucking I mean, like, firecracker of an episode, I would say. It was intense and interesting and I would argue confounding. You know, Dylan, starting from the end, what was your kind of reaction to the ways that the women themselves were reacting to the wine or glass toss?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I was thinking about the episode and like I had taken notes and I was like, this entire episode took place over the course of like maybe 3 hours, because at the very end of the episode, it's not even like they've been at the restaurant for hours. They're just getting their food after all of the drink throwing and shit has gone down.
Is that how long it takes to be served at Bar One, though? You don't know. Could be. It is a Peter Thomas establishment. You guys.
It's midnight. They've been there for 6 hours. No, but I think I was... first of all, it was like, obviously there was a lot going on. But then when you realize that so much has gone down and it's only been a few hours, but also just the way that everyone was kind of involved, because the biggest, loudest, like splashiest conflict was obviously the Mia and Wendy drink throw, purse hit, nail break, whatever happened. I need slow-mo. I need the Matrix again. But then you also think, okay, like Karen and Charisse were going at it earlier in the dinner. Giselle and Robin were getting involved. You had, you know, the Ashley and Candace stuff was being talked about. And then it just, the way that everybody kind of is firing on all cylinders is so exciting.
It was giving Cartagena.
Yeah, there was so much going on at that dinner table. But then also, I mean, it is just the Giselle and Robin. It was a little tough. I always am usually on their side, I think, more than average. But the way that they were just fully just riding the Mia train was tough.
I hate them for making me Team Wendy.
Yeah, no.
Why do y'all hate me? I hate y'all for making me this way.
I literally was talking about this on my podcast earlier. I was like, I've been so negative and on Wendy all season. Mm-hmm. And this episode, I'm like thinking about it, talking about it, and there's no way that I can not be on her side, because whatever she was saying about Mia fucking Gordon, fucking Peter, you know, whatever, all of that stuff, maybe she said some things that were uncool, but it's like Mia took it to such another level.
It's not even the drink, though. It's the fact that no one at that table besides Karen really had her back, and that's so messed up.
Actually,
it's like
I don't care, like, if I dislike someone, but right is right and wrong is wrong, right? It's like with the whole Kathy and Lisa shit. Like, I don't like Lisa Rinna, but Kathy said that shit. I don't care what y'all say. Lisa may be a lot of things, but she's not a liar. So I know, right? You know what I mean? And there's no... Your face. Anyway, that's a totally different situation.
I genuinely, honestly think that Lisa is a liar by how she talked about the fucking receipts folder and pretending that there was a massive conspiracy that she revealed all of this stuff. And oh my God, the editors are no. And Andy himself was like, LOL, she never.
I think she's an exaggerator.
Envelope.
Not like, I think she exaggerates. I don't
What's
know about
the difference?
Lies.
What's the fucking difference?
This is the point where the producers would do a black and white, like, flashback, and it's 10 minutes ago, and I'm like, I don't want to talk about Kathy and Lisa this episode at all. And yeah, but no, it's,
when you said black and white screen, I just thought of the Johns Hopkins University is not involved.
Oh yeah, they said do not put us in this. They said they were not taking any chances.
I do want to get your thoughts on guys, but yeah. Katie, what was your reaction to the Mia and Wendy of it all? I'm curious, or any other aspect.
I have to say one thing. Why did Charisse have to talk to Peter about opening a restaurant too? Like, I don't, why do these women want to go into business with Peter?
Are you not embarrassed? Like, every time you're around, are you not embarrassed? Like, every time you're given a mic pack, you show out. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Charisse wants to go into business with a storyline. Any storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's
because
true.
I do champagne. Because I do champagne. I what do does champagne. That mean? I
she
do
likes
champagne.
Champagne? Okay, me fucking too. But I'm not, like, calling Peter Thomas.
Yeah, well, I do champagne too. Cool. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the standard that Mia was setting of, like, I'm very close to Peter Thomas, as if that's something that one should be proud of. And then essentially the kickoff to this fight was because Mia had decided that Peter was a member of her family. So when Wendy is responding and saying something and Mia's connecting the dots with, like, oh, you're saying something about Peter. Peter's a member of my family. You know who else is a member of my family? My actual literal husband. It didn't quite connect, because you're starting with the assumption that anyone gives a shit about Peter as much as you do.
Yeah. Mia picked a fight with Wendy.
A lot of weird stuff going on at that dinner in general, like really dark vibes happening. There's something very weird about her relationship with Jackie, her best friend.
Yeah.
Because y'all don't even like each other. Like, this is very
weird.
Well,
they're feuding now, right?
Yes.
In real time.
That's a whole other thing. Like,
Jacqueline didn't pack her deodorant, and so now she's going to be a musty-ass bitch at dinner because she already asked for too many toiletries. Mia makes me laugh so much in a way that is just, like, I can't ever put my face... Like, I think Ray Sani tweeted something last night. She was like, Mia really will just blow any fucking way the wind sends her. And... It is fascinating, really, to watch
Mia. Mia had me until she said one word. She said ghetto about Wendy when Wendy got up and left the table. And I'm like, literally everything you've done up until this point has been what you would deem all of that. Like, Wendy was just sitting there minding her business, eating her dinner, and you antagonized her about the story with Peter. You threw a drink on her. You had the entire cast turn against her. And she's... I just, like, and then Robin gets her camera out and starts filming the entire thing.
Yeah, what was
I mean,
that?
It was just,
what the fuck was that?
So antagonistic.
Was she trying to be funny?
But, like, it's just, like, all these labels being thrown at Wendy for defending herself. It's just, like, so maddening. I can't help but not be Team Wendy in this. And I've officially left the Robin Dixon fan club, and I don't think I'll ever be back. And that ride is over. So...
That's what was so kind of confusing and not necessarily surprising, but frustrating, is, like, I don't know that Mia believes her own bullshit, but she's obviously doubling down versus Giselle and Robin, who just obviously dislike Wendy.
Yeah.
But the way they were genuinely, seemingly, truly mistreating her and getting mad at her for being mad at this other person tossing a water glass and then lunging was comical, but also incredibly frustrating. And I was very appreciative that at the end of the episode, Wendy was like, what the fuck are you even talking about? You came so hard for Monique and now you're doing the polar opposite. Like, you have to acknowledge the divide. It's completely antithetical to what they were saying before.
I don't know if you guys saw the sneak peek for next week. It gets worse.
No. What happens?
They go back to the house. I don't want to give too much away, but they do go back to the house, all of the women, and they split up into two different sectors. Wendy goes to her room and Ashley checks on her. I believe Karen does as well. And the other women all just go downstairs and hang out with Mia and basically just kind of like say, it's okay, Mia, you're all right. It's like including Giselle and Robin. And I'm like, when did you ever afford Monique this grace? You just pick sides because of who you like and don't like. But it's Wendy literally physically assaulted her. She threw her purse at her, threw a drink at her. I mean,
Mia did.
Yes. Did I say Mia? Wendy. Yeah. I said Wendy.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
But
yeah.
We got it.
You guys get it. Yeah. So I don't know. It's I think it's going to get worse and it's not going to play out well for Giselle and Robin. But you know what? Robin kind of deserves to get eaten up a little bit at this reunion and I'll be looking forward to it.
What's so interesting to me is that when Robin took out her phone to record, what she said was like, we're not going to have like a she said like, I want to know like the facts of what's happening. And I'm like, if you're the one documenting the facts, then why is it so difficult for you to just literally just acknowledge that throwing the drink on Wendy was not the right thing for Mia to do in that moment? You don't need, it doesn't have to be this big, you know, forgiveness of everything you've ever disliked about Wendy. All it has to be is saying, regardless of everything else in the situation, Mia, that was uncool. And then you can start over hating Wendy just as much as you did 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, yes.
But then you don't look like a massive hypocrite by refusing to condemn the drink throw.
Yeah.
Right. What they were just saying over and over again was Wendy deserved it. And
yeah,
Wendy,
they were blaming her.
So mad. They were blaming her for getting upset and then deciding that her highest level of upset after the water, after everything else happened, they were just truly rewriting the scene and saying, well, you're really upset now, so you're the one to blame because you're instigating the result, which doesn't, you're like instigating the aftermath. Which it feels like even if Wendy had been silent at that point, they still would have blamed her. They still would have said, well, you upset this person so much. Obviously, you deserve what followed. And what followed is still somehow your responsibility and your fault.
Yeah. I think Mia's flying a little too close to the sun. Ma'am, you don't have a large enough fan base to be throwing drinks at the professor. Wendy will be here next season. You won't necessarily. You have not built actual relationships with the women on this show. Wendy is really good friends with Candace. Karen likes Wendy now, which is really quite a feat when you think about how they fucking started out. So, Mia, you haven't actually forged any true, real relationships on this show. You fight with your own friend who you brought on the vacation, who we don't even know why she's here. I think that, you know, Mia, I think, could possibly be... I don't want to... I mean, we're like, what, 5 episodes into the season? But if Mia left the season, I wouldn't be upset. Wendy, I think, should stay.
Well, it also made me kind of wish that Candace was in the space. I know. Because I felt like...
Yeah.
But then I also am glad she wasn't.
Yeah,
like, there's not enough tissue in the world. We'll get there.
Also, isn't she arriving that night? She's arriving, they said, at 10 o'clock PM. That night.
Yeah.
I was thinking when you were talking about how Mia has weirdly... immediately turned on this woman, Jacqueline, that she is just objectively there because of her.
Yeah.
It does. It's a little strange because it reminded me for a second of this past season of Atlanta when Sonya was brought onto the show theoretically through Drew. And then like 2 episodes into the season, Drew decided that Sonya was like the haterest bitch on the planet and they couldn't be ever friends again. But the problem with that comparison is that in that case, Sonya was hired as a full-time housewife. Whether or not Drew was there to explain her presence, Sonya was going to be around. Sonya is like an NBC Universal golden girl, literally. Mm-hmm. She's commentating at the Olympics for them. They are invested in her as a public figure in general. She has a future on Housewives, whereas like now Mia's main storyline, other than fighting with Wendy, is going to be what, feuding with Jacqueline, who I couldn't even pick out of a lineup.
Yeah,
like, that's not compelling.
That's exactly.
And same with, I mean, we were kind of talking about Salt Lake City before we started recording, that it's like so much of the drama all of a sudden is about these friends of that. Again, like Dana and Angie K are like truly nobodies to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lunatics are in charge of the asylum now. You know?
Right. It feels like there's, I think I said this on the last AG, but it feels like the friends of are auditioning for Jen Shaw's role in front of her. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how well that's going. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's awkward.
That choir rehearsal or that choir audition was a metaphor for the auditioning of, and then they had Jen being the MC for her own replacement.
Oh, I mean, I don't know that any of those women are going to get the part.
What if Mary had shown up? What if Mary had shown up? What if Mary had shown up with a Bible and her robe and just started singing?
I bet she knows the melody of Away in a Manger better than Lisa
does.
Oh,
my God.
I would have died. That's exactly what we need.
A new star is born. I agree. thinking, though, about like the closing of Potomac, how did you feel about that Johns Hopkins fucking, I don't even remember what it was because I was so shocked.
Johns Hopkins University has no association with Real Housewives of Potomac or something.
Right. They have no involvement with the Real Housewives of Potomac. What do you think inspired that reaction? And do you think it was actually sent by Johns Hopkins or do you think that was production?
Probably a production just trying to cover their asses.
Like cover their asses, yeah.
But I mean, to quote Wendy literally said, I'm the youngest professor at Johns Hopkins University. Yeah.
But why would anyone, the assumption that anyone would think that Johns Hopkins has a connection or involvement with Potomac didn't entirely make sense.
She talks about it a lot, right? She talks, I mean,
I don't, I don't necessarily think it's that anyone thinks that they do. I think it's more just we're putting it out there that they don't. Like, it's not, like, don't make any mistake. Whatever Wendy claims, it's like when people who are like journalists on Twitter will say like, oh, like these views aren't representative of the whatever, like the New York, wherever I work. And I think with Wendy, it's like sometimes when she's in, you know, address me correctly mode, it can get a little bit like name dropping Johns Hopkins and all this stuff. And I don't know. I think Bravo probably just doesn't want any type of.
Has any franchise ever mentioned universities this much? Between Johns Hopkins and Hampton University, if you'll remember, you're a whore from Hampton University with a hot box.
What was a hot box? I forgot about that moment.
Pour one out for Yovana, that bitch from Clark.
Yeah. It was that bitch.
Hey, you.
I do want to shift gears just slightly because we touched on Salt Lake City and the Chrisleys. Just before we started recording, we're recording this on Monday night. The Chrisleys were sentenced to, I think, 12 years.
She got seven.
Seven, and both got additional, like, year plus in probation. And a lot of people responded to that through the lens of Bravo and were like, oh, even though it's entirely different circumstances and cases, just with the thought of, like, oh, Jen's about to get fucked.
Yeah.
How do you think that's going to go down when she's sentenced here in New York City in just a couple weeks?
I mean, the second she took that plea deal, I've been assuming this whole time she's going to get multiple years in prison. So it's seems pretty much right. I don't know.
I'll let y'all. Yeah, I don't really care. Lock her up. I guess. I don't know. I'm so tired. I don't follow that.
Dive into the legal stuff. Like
that's
I
agree.
But it's too much for me.
It ruins the shows for me.
How so?
I don't like to think. It's like the Erica Jane of it all. Like, we're talking about it for 3 years, and it's just like, I don't like the legal drama. It's depressing. It's a cloud hanging. Anybody that's ever been to court for anything, it's just like, it's not fun to watch someone else go through that. It's just like, I'm not looking forward to the Lisa Hochstein of it all. You know, it's like this
divorce,
kind of stuff, like it's not fun. It's not something that's easily just like shut and close or open and close. It's going to be something that's going to kind of drag on forever. And I don't know. And people online have all these conspiracy theories and all these like weird. So it's just like, it's too much. And it sucks the air out of the room on these shows.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's the stakes are too high, and it's like depressing. It's like I miss mm-hmm. the days of fighting about hospital smell.
Yes, yeah, I mean,
just come on, you know, it's like it's
yeah,
too
it's
much.
Just too much. It's too dark. It's like yeah. everything she did is awful. So like. So Lock sad for everyone that she fraud, but then it's like her family, like that's
yeah,
so
no, totally.
Sad. It's so sad for her family. It's just all.
Or don't lock her up. Just leave me alone.
Yeah,
I think it's tough because it's like I'm interested in kind of how the women react to her, to the stuff that she has brought to the group and the way that Meredith has navigated her relationship with Jen these last couple of years. Heather's. You know, kind of seemingly insistence that she's still going to be a ride or die for Jen, seemingly until they're sending letters to each other in prison. I don't know. But I think the way we have to talk about it on every episode, like the guys yeah. are having this barbecue day, which like, first of all, who fucking cares? But
oh
then
God,
it's like,
a nightmare.
Okay, like at least like Seth Marks and John Barlow talking is about like present drama within the group mm-hmm. whereas then we all have to come back inside and be like oh yeah so Coach Shaw how are you handling how are you handling the impending you know dismantlement of everything you've built for yourself and he's like well you know family every day it's hard and it's like yeah that's not interesting like it sucks for them but it's like I want drama. That's it doesn't feel like drama. It feels like you're watching somebody's life be ripped away from them.
Mind you that like Jin Shaw, when all of this started happening, we'd only known her for a year. This happened yes. her second season. So like and that's honestly and also Jin Shaw arguably one of the fastest burning out stars ever. Like she mm-hmm. came on in the first episode, everyone was like, oh, this will be interesting. And by the third episode, we were like shut up. I no more. It's too much. So like, it's just like, did we ever really even know her? So why do we care? Like, there's not enough here. Like if Kyle Richards had something happen to her, we would be super invested because we have been with her for years. We've seen all the different sides of her, but yeah, it's just like, I don't know.
Like we when were it happened, with Teresa.
Which, yeah. With yeah. Jin Shah, it's like, well, I guess. I mean, that seems like it checks out. I don't know. Well, good luck. I don't
know. Yeah. I think also like what you mentioned about Lisa Hochstein, it's like compare that with Ashley Darby, where it's like yeah. for Ashley, it's this yeah. kind of like liberation. And of course, there are tough moments and there are ups and downs and she's navigating all of it. But it feels like a positive change in her life, where with Lisa, we're about to watch her life be ripped away from her. And yeah. it's yeah. like maybe
and we missed a lot of it.
Right. Yep. And like maybe she'll come out of it stronger at the end, but like that's not what's going to be on this season.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think sometimes also, and I don't know that this is necessarily true, but I just like, I think sometimes when stuff like this happens mid-season, I think the producers sometimes feel like they can rest on their laurels and just kind of be like, well, we don't really have to like have focus on the other small things now because now we've got this big thing that's just going to take over the rest of the season. And like all of the other like little kind of like insular fights and all of these like other kind of dynamics happening, they fall by the wayside because we're just focusing on this one person's storyline. So just like I said, it takes the air out of the room. And I feel like production kind of like doesn't really look outside of that for like content. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's the way it feels.
I don't know how long this will last, but I certainly have to just kind of go off of and think of the Salt Lake City panel, which truly barely referenced Jen. I mean, not only I'm sure because they were seemingly under strict orders not to, but they also didn't need to, which yeah. to me indicates that there could be a really interesting future without her. I just don't think it's going to involve the friends of who are auditioning for a role that neither of them should be cast.
I think, yeah, that's what's been frustrating me these last couple weeks is I felt like at the beginning of the season, having a cast of five, obviously there's not a lot of extra room to kind of play yeah. around with, and everybody really needs to be clocked in. And I felt like up through that trip to Arizona, it was working for me. I felt like that trip mm-hmm. was really tight. It felt like everybody was kind of contributing and there was, you know, kind of bouncing back and forth between the different interpersonal dynamics. And then it's like the second they got back from Arizona, the producers or whoever kind of panicked a little bit and they were like, okay, we've got a lot more season to go. Send in Angie. Send in other Angie. Send in Dana. Make sure we've got the husband spinster ready to go. And it's like,
is that finster like, up and running? All right, good.
It felt like those first like 4 or 5 episodes. It was like, okay, this is, it might not be perfect, but there's something. It at least feels like all the ingredients in the recipe are correct.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, okay, I just like when, you know, it's just like, like I can't with the friends. They're not really, they don't fit with the group. And maybe Angie Harrington is like a little bit better because we knew her last season. And yeah, I don't know. But like,
they're just trying too hard. They just want
to
get,
you know what?
When we're getting like one-on-one scenes back to back where it's like, okay, Jen's with Angie, Meredith's with Dana. They're going to be calling each other. And then Dana's going to have an issue with Jen. It's like this, they can be around, but the story can't be hinging on them when we don't know who they are.
Yeah. Mm. And also like the funny thing about Salt Lake City is that like this now at this point at its worst, it's like a basic Housewives show, which speaks to how good the show casting was. Like right out the gate, I think Salt Lake City more than any of the up there with the top, had such a clear identity. Like it was religiously diverse. It had like such an odd cast, but everyone was so good. And I think that we had it so good so early, and most shows take so long to get to that point. So to see it kind of get to now, I think that's just the main, it's still watchable. It's just like, these are the issues, is that we're, it's kind of having an identity crisis so early into it's a shame, you know? Yeah. I think it's just going to be casting. I think they probably need to take some time after this season airs and just like really give them a full break and really dive into finding some really original, or bring back, I don't know, Mary. Like we really do need some like truly diverse women on there to kind of really show like the different religious kind of like, you know, aspects of that city. And that's what made it pop before. And I think that's what's missing.
I think the casting is tough because since season one, they really haven't added anyone that's worked. Mm-hmm. Like Jenny Wynn, say what you want about her time on the show. Obviously, she couldn't come back. And then this season, we have these friends of none of whom seem to really be clicking in a way that makes me think, okay, next season they can be upgraded. If anything, I want them to be disappeared. So it's like they haven't really ever, since casting the initial group, found a good addition for Salt Lake. And that makes me nervous because it's like, okay, at some point, and that point is now, if Jen's going to prison, you only have 4 women on this cast. That's not sustainable.
But it's been done.
It's been done.
Real Housewives of New Jersey season 2. Don't forget.
I was going to say that too. Great season.
No, I'm not saying that we should do it, but it can be done. In a pinch, Danielle and Teresa will get it done. They said.
Right, but then it's like, next season, who are you? Where's your Melissa Gorga? Like, you gotta find somebody.
Yeah.
That does make me feel a lot of thanks and gratitude toward Potomac, because I feel like no matter whose side you're on, the cast is stable. Like, I think that Mia is a clown show? 100%. But I also think, like, this cast is stable regardless of what we're arguing about when it comes to what's on screen. I don't have any concerns or nervousness. And I have to say with Salt Lake City, I feel like they're going to find it. I just think that, like, this Jen stuff is honestly at its core super awkward because we know the ending while the story is going on. And we're all tiptoeing around the idea that this woman is professing her innocence. I don't even know that we're tiptoeing around it. We're just fucking walking into it. And we know that she's not, which most of us knew before or suspected. And now that she has, you know, since changed her plea, it's like, let's just get through this and whatever happens with the reunion, and then kind of go from there. And speaking of new beginnings and what will happen in the future, I mean, we did start the episode quasi by talking about the New York City reboot. I'm curious for everyone's thoughts, since this is a huge reshifting and recalibration for the New York City franchise with the split, with the cast, and with the show fully in production at this point. Do you guys have any perspectives or opinions on the reboot itself?
I'm excited. I'm really excited for the new
good.
One.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. I need it to be a success.
Yeah.
I need yeah. it to be.
Yeah, I feel like if it's not, I've been such a fucking Debbie Downer on AG about it because I'm just like, I feel like I'm just annoyed that it's like women in their fucking like early to mid 30s. But then there's also another way to look. I'm so used to New York classic.
You can't compare.
I know I can't compare, but it's like my physical reaction is like compare.
Like I'm thinking of it as like a new show about New York.
Yeah, but also when right. Roni started, they were around this age. Let's be clear. I mean, we know them as like
Ramona some, was like 50.
She was, but these like also Luann was around the same age as like kind of these women. They're like in their like 40s, late 30s.
Yeah, isn't early but 30s. Isn't Jenna Lyons in her
Jenna Lyons?
Yeah, like, Jenna Lyons is in her 50s.
Yeah, she's
50. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Right, but Jenna Lyons I think is the exception to the rule in that cast.
I think there's the woman yeah. the woman Erin. I think yeah. she's a little bit older, right? I think regardless of age, I think it's going to be yeah. like really interesting and just like obviously diverse, but also women that like are obviously like really have true careers in the fashion
doing
industry
stuff, yeah.
and doing stuff right. that in the show doesn't have to just yeah. be about them filming a show. They actually have, there's real stakes
it's
here.
That's a good point.
There's stakes yeah. now. And I think that they are actually friends. I mean, these women have all been friends years before the show was casted. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I think that like people complaining that they've never heard of a lot of these women, well, probably don't know who Jenna Lyons is, and that's a whole other thing.
Wait
but,
a second.
Yeah.
Why are women complaining about not that? I take it.
I think it's,
right. Why
I
are
think
women
it's,
saying that they don't know that that's the best case scenario?
I know. It's
yeah.
like
these women.
That's
about Salt Lake City.
Exactly. That's what I say. It's like we didn't know who Heather Gay was before, and look how great it is that we had this entire
we
cast
want
of women.
That.
We want to get
want
to know
that.
These women.
Yeah.
You don't want people that have been on reality shows before.
No.
I mean, we've been gushing about Potomac. None of these women were
right.
at all well-known, relevant, anything mm-hmm. before they were on TV. I think I'm excited. I always like to approach new things on Bravo with, you know, cautious optimism because, you mm-hmm. know, like I want there to be new things to get excited about. I want things to be good. I'm going to have to watch it anyway. That's always my philosophy. I'm like, if I gotta talk and post and write about this shit for a living, I'd rather be enjoying it. But I do think, I think people are being negative in a way that I understand because mm-hmm. the original Roni franchise is so iconic, but in a way that feels kind of like your head is in the clouds because that's not the Roni franchise that we had to work with in, you know, when
yeah.
they made this decision.
Yeah.
And so
right.
I am excited. And I also have followed Jenna Lyons on TikTok recently. And she has been, she's been getting up to speed on TikTok. And there was one video where she was trying on outfits
for the party.
That she was, a party that she was attending where the theme was gold, khaki, uh-huh. and black. And that is just like.
But the outfit choices were so out there. And by the way she talks, like if there's any doubt that Jenna Lyons is going to be an amazing housewife, I think she's going to be, she's like a giraffe. She's just like. Like not only physically, she's tall as fuck, by the way, but like also just kind of like otherworldly, like is not of this world. Like she talks very strange. She's like,
Yeah,
she kind of just is going to be, I can tell that she's going to be someone that's really funny to watch doing interviews and testimonials when people aren't around to hear her say things about them. Whether that goes in a good way or bad way for her, I don't know, but I'm really looking forward to it. I think that this seems like a really great cast. But I am bummed that we're already hearing stories about Lizzie Savetsky
yeah.
leaving. Because it's not good for anybody that this early on that someone's like having to dip out.
Yeah, I'm just really curious because I know they have started filming at some point, you know, since BravoCon. I'm curious how much Lizzie is
yeah.
going to be on the
right.
season.
She
might,
I
wonder,
not be a
might even
part
on
it.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, because depending on how the filming schedule breaks down, a lot of the time they're filming for a couple weeks or even longer before they really get into group scenes. I think some of them just were traveling together, but not the whole group. And, you know, if it really is a newer group, they might be doing kind of more pickups and smaller scenes before it really dives in.
They did a girls trip just now, last weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
To the Hamptons. So.
Nice. Oh. I'm curious to see if they almost edit Lizzie out, if not entirely, like to the point where you never really feel like she was a housewife.
Because it sounds
Think would be the worst idea. And I also, that Dylan reminds me of when Tamara was talking about coming back on Orange County. She like already had this crazy trip planned. They were going to Europe or wherever the fuck they were going. And she noted that it wasn't a big deal that filming on the new season had started while she was away, because she said like the first week or first couple weeks are like kind of a skeleton crew. And obviously that's a different situation because it's a train already on its tracks. Like that's a different vibe than restarting. And I'm sure whatever, you know, New York production had planned, but it does raise the valid point of like filming with these women individually, focusing on what their individual storylines are, because it's an introduction. It's not a reintroduction. It's a full introduction to all of us, not just necessarily about the vibe of the show, but about each woman's individual story and narrative, which could absolutely work to everybody's benefit if they are doing a cast reset, which we know that they are.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions, just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine.
I mean, I have to say, for an episode about gratitude, I'm grateful that all of you have such positive feelings about New York, because I've been such a dick about it. Like, I've just been pissed. Really? It's hard for me to think about
You can't New think York about
without
it.
My, I know. It's like, it's one of those things that I talked about with Richie Sky a bit on the last AG, but just kind of recalibrating in my head that, like, the real Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is a different vibe than Real Housewives of Potomac, but they're both newer generation shows with completely new to us casts. So too can New York. Like, New York can also exist and be created in a new world. And I just have to work with myself on like separating this new thing from what New York used to be, because that we're so grateful and lucky and fortunate that will continue to exist just on Peacock, on Legacy. Like, we really truly, they are doing us a huge solid by having the two. I don't know the future of Legacy. I don't think they know the future of Legacy, and understandably so. But at least having this like separation exist in such a way that you can't say you're upset the other thing is gone, because it's not. It's just been retransformed.
I really hope that it succeeds, because then that means really great things for the other franchise when the time comes, if we ever have to do the same thing for their, you know what I mean? It's because I'm really looking forward to day when we can finally say goodbye to Gina and Emily. So.
Oh my God. Are we ending
on that? I'm still asking myself why. Why are we still here? Why?
Why were they casted, but like, why do they keep getting renewed?
That's what I'm so confused about. It's like, you guys have something on NBC, because this is like crazy. Okay? We've gone from the casita to the 4-bedroom house with the 10 people. It's a lot.
Nine kids?
It's crazy.
I don't know that they have 4 bedrooms. I think that they might have less. Like, that's not even me joking.
They have 3 bedrooms, and there's like... Yeah. 15 kids. Like 6 bunk beds or something.
Explain to me room. How they like still are on this show.
In the army, they call that a barracks.
Wait, can we end with this question? Because, B, that just kind of inspired me. Do you have a holiday wish? Is there, and it could be bring back somebody, fire somebody, give me more of whatever. Is there something that you would love to see to the Bravo gods who are absolutely not listening to this episode? Like, is there something that you would wish for, a la culling potentially Emily and Gina from Orange County, which I don't know that I agreed with, but I very much laughed.
Oh, I want them out.
Oh, okay. Katie is like, that's
yeah.
Okay,
yeah. I have. I want them out. But I've been saying for years, like when we went to Bravoholics and they asked us, like, you know, our opinion. Do you remember that? Like the first year
we went to the we went to the pre BravoCon, BravoCon, which was like they invited 30. Bravoholics from all over the country to 30 Rock for a day where you got to see, and it was literally just 3 of us, where you got to talk to Bravoholics and also the network. Like, they sat us down and asked us for our thoughts.
We did like a little focus group,
right?
And in there I remember saying, like, I want OC brand new, like wipe them all out and start fresh, like what they're doing with New York. So I would love to see that. I live in OC, so I see the women that could potentially be on the show. I think they're missing the mark with, I mean, even like where they film is so out from like the main part of Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I want, my holiday wish would be Gina and Emily gone, and then like a whole new cast for OC.
I remember, Katie, the first time you told me that Coda de Casa is actually like the middle of nowhere, and I was like,
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, it's like a housing development in like the back side of Orange County.
Yeah, it's not anywhere near the.
It's off something called like a toll road that it's not like the main freeway.
You have
to like, pay. But off of the main freeway, it's like 25 minutes off of like the main like 405 freeway.
Can I ask, I mean, it's sort of tangentially related, but fucking Gretchen Rossi hangs out with people who have so much goddamn money, including mm-hmm. What's-Her-Face from Selling Sunset, who now lives in Orange County.
And Casey What's-Her-Face from Laguna Beach.
Casey Bo Brown.
Who Heather's always like in and out of that group too.
Right.
And like Layla Milani.
Right, who has so much fucking money. Would you like to see maybe that group, or do you think like a new group like that, or not at all?
Not even like that. I don't even like that part. Like,
I would like to not see like QAnon Barbies.
Yeah, no, exactly. County. Yeah,
no.
And anybody who calls themselves a good friend of Gretchen in 2022.
Yeah,
that really, the vibes aren't great. I remember vividly in 2020, the summer of 2020, seeing her and Lydia McLaughlin and like a whole army of face-tuned women at like a Save the Children kind of
rally. Save the Children, because she forgot to write the L.
Gretchen Rossi's friends are not who I want to see on OC.
Not
and too much connected with the
to
past.
To say it briefly.
Yeah.
Dill, what's your holiday wish?
I don't know. I mean, a new OC is something that would be exciting for me, though I don't hate Gina and Emily with the passion that you both seem to. But
Oh no. It's not even with the passion, because they're
it's not even hate. I feel like they're fine people. I just don't want to watch them. I don't find them entertaining. I don't find them funny.
There's nothing about them that I could even derive anywhere near a passion for. Like, it's just like that boring. Like, it's not even interesting enough to hate. I'm just like, I need.
Fair enough.
We just don't want them on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I agree.
I guess my Bravo wish, it's not something that I think about very often, but I would still love for them to find something to do that either spiritually or literally feels like a Ladies of London follow up. Whether it's Ladies of London or whether it's like something with a similar vibe. I miss that feeling. And now that Caroline Stanbury is busy somewhere else, I feel like we could like actually put our resources into it. I don't know.
100%. No, I love that. B, what about you?
I don't want much. I just want new title cards for Real Housewives of New Jersey. Jennifer Aiden's been stuck in that same outfit since her day that she got on the fucking cast. Margaret only just replaced the pigtails on the title cards last year. We are so out of date. I think we need an entirely new intro. It's like the song can stay, but the whole look and everything. And it's like this weird baby blue mixed with like a lemony yellow kind of like tone. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
No.
It just doesn't hit.
They're in the black dresses.
It's so bad. No. And for how.
I didn't even think of it. Your guys' attention to detail is.
Oh my God. Same. If for same such a colorful cast and such a colorful, fun show, you really don't get that from the visuals. And I think that a show that's as important as that deserves to have. Yeah. It makes no sense to me that Real Housewives of Beverly Hills gets to reshoot theirs every season and a show like New Jersey.
I think in terms of like the editing and stuff like that, some of the franchises, they've done such a good job at trying new things and making certain changes. And I think Potomac has felt really fresh this season. And some of the editing, I mean, even on last night's episode, the way they were putting in like
the
shots of like the ocean turning red and then like the Matrix thing and like the animal, it really worked. And I think like Miami is such a great example of how you can make a show like that glossy and exciting. Fun. And I think I wish Bravo would sometimes apply that, you know, a little more creatively to their repertoire.
Yeah.
And I just realized I really don't have a wish, but thinking about Miami and thinking about a new kind of version potentially of Orange County, I just want a continuation of good TV. Like, there's a difference between talking about interesting and sometimes difficult subjects and conversations and having that talk and just like feeling bad while watching some of these shows. And some of that sometimes is connected to a network response or lack thereof. And sometimes it's just like not good TV. And I felt like the last season of New York was like truly bad TV that did not endear me to the franchise in any way. So I guess my hope would be like more solid content programming, but also like I just have to say, because I do feel like I'm contractually obligated to, that I just want Shan to have like a fun Shan season. And you know, I don't know, poor sweet Shan. Like, I'm nervous with Tamara being back. I'm, like, nervous that they're just going to use Shan as a punching bag, which is tough to do because Shan already does that to herself. And I just really want my sweet, complicated, broken bird, Shannon Bedore, to, like, Shannon Storms Bedore, to find her wings and fly free. Like, enjoy life. Don't just tell us you're fun, Shan, now and again when you've had enough to drink. Like, be fun Shan. Like, find the fun Shan from within would be my I hope for her with like Orange County, whenever we see it. I just hope that, like, you know, Shan does Shan right. And also Tamara and the others. I just want
crazy
fun, sweet Shan to be okay.
You ask for this every year but never get it, and you asking for it again. It's like she asks for this every year, people.
I wish you and Shan all the best with that request.
Good luck.
Noting, by the way, that my sweatshirt literally says I did my best, which is the thing that Shannon probably tells herself every night. And I don't know how true it is, but I love her so much and I just want her to be okay. And speaking of okay, this episode was much more than that. I'm so thankful to all of you. I have to say genuinely how thankful I am to know all of you. I think that one of the positives from being a member of the content creation universe and community is the fact that we are able to meet people from all over the fucking place and find each other in the language that we all mutually share. And you have all been such incredible friends to me personally in my life. I'm so thankful to all of you. And, you know, we've been through so much with, like, the pandemic and everything else. And I can't believe I'm crying, and I literally can't believe this is my period.
I couldn't tell.
I'm a little emotional.
I'm a little emotional.
I know, because that's literally how I cry. It's like, keep it inside with a joke. But I'm so thankful to all of you and to anybody listening. Like, there's a specific reason why I asked each of you on the pod, because I think that your voices are so meaningful to me, and I respect what you are communicating on social media, on your podcasts, on your platforms. Like, I think your voices are meaningful and important, and I'm so thankful to all of you for taking the time to do this episode personally to me, for being such an incredible friend, and just to have met you. That's genuinely what I'm thankful for in this season of giving. So I just wanted to say thanks, guys.
You're gonna make me cry.
No. Well, I feel the same. Thank you so much for having us. I'm so appreciative.
So guys, what's your fucking, you know, sell your shit? Like, B, tell us.
Me first.
How to follow you, a little bit about the B list, mention it all.
Just Pet Shop Boy on Instagram. I'm the_PetShopBoy on Twitter. And I've got the B list, which is the podcast. You can listen to it anywhere you listen to podcasts. I've got Heather Gay as a guest this week. Oof. I think I've got my friend Jonathan on next week, who's super fun. He's on often, so if you listen, you know who he is. And then I've got someone from that show Siesta Key. That's from MTV. I don't know. Ooh. It's do you know that show? You know,
like,
do you know?
Alive.
I know. Yeah, really sold that. Like, no, but it's like it's from the creators, I believe, of The Hills, and it's on MTV. But the star of it, Juliet Porter, I talk to her often in DM, but not about the show, about all of the other shows. So I'm really interested in having her on to talk a bit about her show, but then also just really talk to her about reality TV in general, because I think that's so interesting to talk to people that are actively on reality TV to get their take on how production works on all of these other shows. So, yeah, it's really fun.
I love that. That sounds incredible.
Yeah.
Dill, where can people listen to Mention It All and follow Bravo by Betches and you personally?
Well, you can follow Bravo by Betches at Bravo by Betches, as you know, it's self-explanatory. You can follow me at Dylan Hafer on Instagram, and Mention It All is wherever you listen to podcasts. We do a really fun mix of solo episodes with other, you know, Bravo podcasters, voices, fun people, Bravo celebrities. I just interviewed Leva today about her new show, which was really fun. I liked hearing what she had to say. We had Corey from Winterhouse on, who was shockingly, I don't mean this in a rude way, but like shockingly lovely to talk to. like a himbo with a heart of gold. And we have some other exciting stuff coming up, so check that out wherever you listen.
Amazing. Katie, tell us.
I'm sure it's obvious that I don't have a podcast. This is
one of the very few
podcasts I've done. You can follow me and my best friend Alexa at Bravo Betch. And we also just started a mom's account not too long ago called @momsbeingpetty. So you can check that out too.
And where can people, 'tis the season for spending fucking cash. I already dropped it. Where can people, do it again. You have so much great stuff that just launched.
ShopBravoBetch.com. The link's in our bio on our Instagram.
Love that. Guys, speaking of fucking shopping, you know what my Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa wish is? For you to join the Andy's Girls Patreon. It's the number one way to support the pod. You know what's a great stocking stuffer is joining the premium tier, the People's Couch, where you get the opportunity to record a Patreon bonus episode with yours truly. I am working on a Thanksgiving yada yada special bonus episode on the Patreon. So as we shared what we are thankful and grateful for, I want to hear from you. Slide into my DMs on Instagram @DameGallie. Shoot me an email at andysgirlsshow@gmail.com and let me know a moment and a wish, whatever you are thankful for and also hopeful for. And they make be included in that Patreon episode. I also want to shout out a group of 20 content creators who came together this week to raise funds for an organization in Colorado Springs, which is called Inside Out Youth Services. They are focused on working to build community with LGBTQ young people who deserve to be safe from threats of fear and violence. I think many of us were horrified and deeply shocked by the devastating violence that happened in Colorado Springs at Club Q over the weekend. This is a great way to support an organization that is working to support young people directly in that area. And it's something that literally 20 Bravo content creators are helping fundraise for. So you can donate to that benefit for Inside Out Youth Services on my Instagram at Dame Galley. And I'm also including a link in the show notes for this episode. And I hope that you will support an organization that is absolutely deserving of your cash money this holiday season and beyond. Guys, on that note, happy Thanksgiving. I'm so thankful to all of you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And guys, to all the AGs out there, I know that Thanksgiving and the holiday season can be a positive but also difficult time. However you are connecting or escaping from the holidays, we're sending all of you a lot of our love. And Lord knows that's why the Lord himself created BravoTV.com. And all of my thanks and gratitude that you continue to choose AG as the podcast of choice. We are pro Andy's girls here at the AG Clubhouse, also known as the Clawfist. Anyway, thanks to all of you for continuing to listen, sharing your thoughts about these episodes, and speaking this language that we love so well. So I'm sending you all of my thoughts however you are spending your Thanksgiving weekend, kickoff to the holiday season. I hope it was a great one. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye. Thank you.